And now we start looking at the readings, and as usual, the first reading will prepare for the Gospel. As I've already mentioned, the Gospel is going to be John 6. We're going to continue to read John 6.
This
is the incident. It's the manna as described in Exodus 16. This is 16, 2 to 4, and 12 to 15. They skip a whole section, I think because they're concerned about time. But when you go home, you could read and find out what you missed. It'd be good. Okay. Having set out from Elim, a whole Israelite community came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. Now, we don't pay any attention to those dates, but the old commentators did, you see. Here in the wilderness, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They said to them, "If only we had died at the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, as we sat by our kettles of meat and ate our fill of bread. But you have led us out into this wilderness to make this whole assembly die of famine." That's where we get that notion of longing for the flesh pots of Egypt. We set out on the spiritual life. Oh, it gets boring. It gets hard. You know, skipping all those off-color TV shows, not going to these movies, getting a prayer time in every day, trying to read the Bible every day, not, being angry with the people at work, and it gets tiring. And so you say, "I'm going back to Egypt. I'm going to sit in my easy chair, watch the boob tube, and be happy." Well, that's the flesh pots of Egypt, you see. And so that's what they're saying. They grumbled. "If only we died up there in Egypt, as we sat by our kettles of meat. Did you brought us out here to make the whole assembly die?" Then the Lord said to Moses. Now look at the patience of the Lord. You'd think he'd say, "Out of my way, I'm going to blot them out." He does at another time. But here, "I'm going to rain down bread from heaven for you. Each day, the people are to go out and gather their daily portion. Thus I will test them to see whether they follow my instructions or not." And then, in our reading for Sunday, we skip a whole bit there and go back down then to verse 11. Because, you can read it when you go home. I'm afraid to take time now. But Moses is saying, when the Lord, I'm going to read a little bit. "When your Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning you fill of bread, and here's the grumbling against you, who then are we? Your grumbling is not against us, it's against the Lord. I can't give you bread from heaven." When they start the discussion with Jesus in John 6, they're saying, "Moses gave us his bread from heaven." And Jesus says, "No, it wasn't. It was my Father." Okay. The text again says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, in the evening twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will have your fill of bread, and then you will know that I, Adonai, am your God.'" Now, this theme is the same as the one in Deuteronomy 8, right? "He fed you with the bread from heaven so that you will understand that it is not in bread alone that men eat, that men live, but by every word, every dabar, every thing that comes from God, every word from his mouth." Now you would think, wouldn't you, if you want to train people that they don't live by bread alone, don't give them bread. "Hey, look, you're still alive." That's not what he did. He gave them the manna miraculously in the desert so that they could pick up that manna And they look up to God and thank Him and start to really live. That was His plan. You see? And so, so in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. In the morning, there was a layer of dew all around the camp. And when the layer of dew evaporated, fine flakes were on the surface of the wilderness, of this desert. Fine flakes like hoarfrost on the ground. On seeing it, the Israelites asked one another, "Manna, what's this? Ma, na." Today we say, "Ma pitom, ma ze," in modern Hebrew, you know. "What's this? Ma ze," you know. "Ma, na, what is this?" That's how they got the, that's how it got its name, manna. So every time they say it, they got to think of how stupid and hard-hearted they were. And like we are. So, manna, what is this? For they did not know what it was. But Moses told them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." But what's the bread? It's the Torah. It's word. We live. Not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, which was the text we've had before in Deuteronomy. You can eat 20 meals a day and be happy, 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 but you won't be really happy. Because you won't unless you know God. It's impossible. You're made for God, not just for ice cream sundaes. And so that's what he's saying here, you see? And so, and the Logos, the Word, was present to His people, right? It says there, it might be worth quoting it, when He's talking to the Corinthians, you see? He doesn't ever say, you see, those Jews were terrible and we're so much better. He doesn't say that. He says our forefathers, you know, and we're acting the same way. They're complaining. Okay? And I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, this is 1 Corinthians 10, that our ancestors, our fathers, were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all of them were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What could he mean by that? Baptized into Moses. You see? And the cloud and the sea were the baptismal waters, as it were. You see? They became a people under Moses. Huh? All ate the same spiritual food. He means the spirit, the food provided by the Spirit. The manna, you know? And they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. Now that's an old rabbinic tradition, that when Moses hit the rock and the water came out, then for a steady supply of water, the rock rolled along with them. Now, nobody's going to go back and try to prove that they found the spot where the rock rolled, you know? It's a way of speaking. You're being taken care of. And that being taken care of, that was Christ. That was Christ back then. We've done this many times before, the presence of the Logos to Israel. You see? Yet God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down, and I know that because they were struck down in the desert. Now these things happen as examples for us, that we might not desire evil things as they did, and do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written. You see? And therefore, let us not test Christ as some of them did and suffered death by serpents. How did they test Christ? He was there. The Logos was leading them. He was there. You see how you need a different understanding of time. Paul says, you see, let us, in fact, it's such a tough text that some of the scribes, when they were copying over the manuscript, put, "Let us not test God." Because test Christ? How could they test Christ? The scribes didn't get it either. The Christ, the Logos, was there, not incarnate yet in Jesus, but he was there. I've already, if you remember, read a whole bunch of texts for you like this. You know, where the Logos spoke to Abraham. The Logos instructed Moses. You see, the Logos was there with the prophets. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah by Yehidabar Adonai Yirmiyahu. The Dabar came to him. I know, of course, it means the message, but it doesn't mean more than that. You know, we've so forgotten this dimension of time and a biblical understanding of salvation history that it's hard for us to even imagine it. But there it is. Let us not test Christ as some of them did. How could they test him? He wasn't born of the Virgin Mary yet. Ah, but he's the Logos. And he's there caring for them, guiding them. And that's what's meant by that. Okay? And so, this text is saying, and we're the same. I mean, have you ever gone to communion and been distracted? Have you ever gone back and knelt down and still mad at somebody? It's the same as this. It's the same. And you're not reverencing the reality. They're blameworthy for not representing the symbol. But for us, it's the body and blood. It's the Christ. And we can go up there like we're going to the beach. You know, nowhere. This is one of the reasons why the church wants the service, the whole dimension of the Word, which is analogous to the Eucharist, you see, to be alive, to prepare us. If we receive the Word in the Gospel, we will receive Him in His own flesh. And we will rejoice, and so will He. And so, that's the story of the manna. Now, there are psalms which tell the history of Israel. One of them is Psalm 78. And it's very interesting when you see this, that the... you see, he gave them bread. You know, why don't you do what Moses did? He gave us bread from heaven. And they're alluding to their understanding of this a text in Psalm 78, you see? They tested God in their hearts. Can God spread a table in the wilderness? You see? And so forth. And the answer is, you are being obstreperous with God Himself. You're not happy with Him. He's caring for you. He's leading you out of slavery. And you want to go back. You want to start hanging around nightclubs again. You're not happy. And God is trying to bring you to a place of such a deep satisfaction that the only way to describe it is food. Wisdom. You see? Which satisfies the deepest thing in us. And so that's what the text was saying. So, the Lord heard and grew angry. So He commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, and God rained down manna from heaven. And men ate the bread of angels. This is the psalm. Food He sent in abundance. All right, I'll give you your food. While it's in your mouth, some of you are going to be struck dead. You've got to learn. So, that's the text that prepares us to enter more deeply into John 6. But before we do John 6, we have to stop now, and then we'll do Ephesians.